Hey,
I'm Gary.
I'm Dave.
And this is
Horoscope.
Video killed the... So we're doing video games this week. That's the wrong lyric and wrong song. Dave, what are we doing this week?
Hey, Gary. Well, you did, you say. We are going to talk, as a whole, about the Silent Hill video game series.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, pretty scary.
Okay.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah. A lot of things to talk about with this. There's multiple games.
Oh my god. There's like, I don't know, 10 games or so.
Yeah.
There's two movies. There's... No, I think that's it, actually.
So there's 12 things in the Silent Hill oeuvre. Okay, the game first released, I remember it being a little bit earlier than this, but my memory has failed me. 1999.
Don't forget, though. That was a while ago. How old were you in 1999?
I was aged 10.
I was about 11, 10, 11. Yeah, exactly. In fact, I'd have been about 10 as well.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But I remember it being like the same sort of time as, I mean, I guess it was really looking back, Resident Evil and stuff and all them. Resident Evil 2.
Sort of around the same time as Pokemon for us as well, because it was released earlier in Japan than it was here.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff we did get. And most of these games were Japanese made, don't forget. Resident Evil, like Silent Hill.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that they were out a little bit before we had them. Mm. That might not be true, actually, with Silent Hill, I'm not sure. But suffice to say, yeah, there was definitely a video game boom.
Yeah.
It was all about the PlayStation 1.
Is there a better console than PlayStation 1? I mean, I will always fight for SNES, but in terms of...
Yeah. PlayStation 1 revolutionised a lot of things.
That's the thing.
Especially in terms of graphics. Like, I think the PlayStation 2 is arguably the best console that's ever been made. Mm. And I got that years later.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Years and years later. But it was pretty solid. Yeah. Like, the jump in graphics, gameplay... That being said, PS1 will always be my console.
Yeah.
Love that.
Favourite thing about PS1, and I think I've told you this before, but I can't remember, when you used to switch it on without a disc in, and you'd get the dinosaur, the T-Rex, just walking around.
You've said this, and I'm going to have to find that. I'm going to go home, get my PS1, test that theory out.
It's pretty good.
What were your favourite games on the PS1?
PS1, oh, Christ almighty. I used to love Driver, do you remember that?
I remember Driver, that was a hard game.
Yeah, it was cool.
The first mission was this time trial thing, and it was bloody impossible,
I swear.
In a car
park.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I'm breaking the law when I was a youth, I had my PlayStation chipped.
Oh, did you?
Because I couldn't afford all the games as it was when I was a youth. And I remember I used to... Basically,
I heard rumours of that, and I never actually saw anyone who had it done.
I didn't know anyone who didn't have it chipped when I was growing up.
I didn't know how you did.
Yeah, oh, you just gave it to some guy in the pub and he'd...
he'd sort it out for you.
Plant his seed and then we'd get loads of games, yeah. It was like I think it was £8 a game it used to be, which is opposed to like 40.
So. I see what you mean, yeah, games were well expensive. Yeah. God, 40, 50 quid. Like, it's funny, you look at a PS1 game now and you think, oh, they were probably quite cheap because games these days are 50 quid. Yeah. No, they've always been about bloody 30, 50 quid.
Yeah, defo. Yeah. So, yeah, I always remember with Driver, because it was a copied version, we didn't have the booklet inside that told you how to do certain things.
Does help.
And I didn't know what slalom was, and to complete the initial time trial in the car park, you've got a slalom, so you know, like go in and out around the pillars in the car park.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I used to complete it, and I'd have like 30 seconds left to do the slalom, but no one knew what slalom was. This is pre-Google as well for me, so
I couldn't
Google it. So I just basically drive for me for the first year and a half was basically just like me driving around a car park for like 2 minutes and then the game would end. That was it. And then it wasn't until I finally got the courage to go to game and be like, what slalom? And some guy showed me.
That's beautiful that you could go into the store and have that kind of relationship with the staff.
It's good.
The video game stores have always had that kind of, certainly more these days. Same thing with sort of comic book shops. Of however much I love them, sometimes the staff aren't necessarily the most customer friendly people in the world.
Yeah.
Not always the case. Sometimes it's the absolute opposite. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, that is nice. It was a weird level, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. On a similar talk to shops and stuff, have you ever been, or have you ever seen a shop and thought, I'm not geeky enough to go in here?
Ooh, that's a question. There's certainly been genres of geek shop. I know a lot of those. You know that kind of like, they're around at the minute. I don't know what the name is for this kind of genre of store, but you'll know what I mean. They're often Japanese, that kind of feel to it. And it's just stuff that has a bit of a weird art style to all of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I know, yeah.
What's the deal with those places?
Yeah.
At all. I don't feel like I'm not geeky enough to go in there. I just feel like I've missed out on that clique.
The one I feel a bit like I couldn't go in, I'm like, I really want to go in just to see what's it all about. You know the one in Central Station in Liverpool? Like the Games Warfare
Shop. Games Workshop.
Yeah.
Mate, when I was a kid, I was in there all the time, bro.
Like, so what is it? Obviously,
do you not know what Games Workshop is?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm a massive, like, Lord of the Rings nerd and stuff. And I remember every time, like, I walked past it.
It was Lord of the Rings stuff.
When I was, like, 15, 16, I just used to see, like, they had the Battle of Helm's Deep set up with figures. And I remember always thinking, like, oh my God, I need that in my life. But I just never had an in to get in there.
I know what you mean. It was super expensive. Yeah. I got into it when I was a kid. But in a nutshell, it is tabletop gaming. You've got tiny little men.
Yeah.
That you build and paint, which is one half of it. And the other half is an incredibly complex rule system in this absolute grimoire.
Yeah.
Fucking huge book. And you played the games. And I played a few times. But again, the problem was I found that it tended to suffer from... It was quite an intimidating place, you know? Yeah. Because even if the staff were friendly, the kind of people who play those games, while on the whole some of them would be completely socially sound... sometimes weren't as socially savvy, and so I felt a bit uneasy there, you know?
Yeah.
These days, having said that, I have since played slightly... I think they came out with a new rule book, and it's a bit more fun these days, but I know what you mean. It's very intimidating.
There's been a few times where I've been out-geeked by people on a threatening level. Like, I remember, I think we can give spoilers now about Force Awakens. It's been enough time, I think. I mean, not major spoilers, not the big spoilers.
Yeah.
But one thing in particular, I remember when we came out of the cinema after seeing it for the first time, and the modern day Death Star or whatever it is the Empire have, or the
Starkiller.
Yeah. So when that's blowing up loads of planets, it's quite near the beginning that bit, isn't it? So it's not giving away too much. I remember saying to some friends just as we were walking out, just a casual conversation, like, oh, I would have loved a cutaway to when they're blowing up the planets, just having Jar Jar on one of the planets, and then just so we know he's definitely gone forever. And then some guy behind me, some like proper like geek, just like who overheard the conversation, just went, the life of a Gungan wouldn't have been 60 years, so he wouldn't have made it. He would have been long dead by now. Like that. And I just remember thinking, like, wow.
It's sad, isn't it?
I didn't know what to do. I was like, that's well done for knowing that, but at the same time, like, private conversation. But
it's that classic thing of... There's a certain type of person that... I think this is true of all sort of geeky stuff. It's funny, because geek is mega mainstream these days. And it wasn't when we were kids. No. It was slowly becoming mainstream.
Yeah.
But when we were kids, it definitely wasn't. No. These days it is. And I'm happy that it is.
Yeah.
I'm happy that the wider world's looking at, like, Marvel movies, Star Wars movies, all of this shit, and going, hey, isn't this fun? And it is fun. And you shouldn't... There shouldn't be this difference between being a child and an adult. I saw an amazing Will Ferrell quote recently, which was, immature is a word used by boring people to describe fun people.
Yes.
Great. I saw that, brilliant. Love that. Regardless of who said it, brilliant quote. But yeah, a lot of this sort of hardcore geek stuff, especially information-based stuff like Star Wars Expanded Universe, where there's so many books and Wikipedia articles that we've all glanced at, but someone's inevitably read all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And uses it as an excuse for a personality or instead of a personality. Yeah. And so they gain any kind of solace in reciting that information as though it gives them any kind of social leverage or, like, greater status. It is a bit sad because you kind of want to take them aside and go, mate, I am well chuffed that you know a Gungan can live 60 years. But there's certain times that should come up in conversation. Yeah. This isn't one of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was just quite impressed thinking, wow, I found the real life Moss from IT Crowd.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Silent Hill.
Back to
that old chestnut.
We are terrible at these podcasts.
But I think that's fine. You know, we are our own expansive universe. So, join us on our adventure. So, When did you first get this? Did you play it on PS1?
I did play it on PS1. Although, actually, I think I played it on a demo. You know, mm-hmm. did you ever get PlayStation Magazine when you were a kid?
Yes.
Love that, the demo discs.
There was two, wasn't there? There was the PlayStation Mag, and then there was another one, which was like the unofficial one.
I know what you mean. I think I got the... I'm not trying to be smart the official, here, but I got the official one. Yeah,
me too.
It was also the first time I played Metal Gear Solid, which changed my life. Like, that was the first game that I played, and I was like, right, video games are a big deal now. Yeah. And they're going to be amazing, and I love them.
Yeah.
But Silent Hill was also a demo. Might have been the same disc as Metal Gear. Bloody hell, could you imagine that?
That's special.
That would have been special.
Yeah.
And it was difficult, and it was scary.
Yeah.
It was creepy. But you did have a gun. Like, so, you know, there was a bit shootery. But that was the first time I was ever exposed to it. You'd never played it, did you?
No. So I've watched the walkthrough and quite recently to get back to grips with it.
Yeah.
And I also, I think I was saying to you earlier, I've seen it being played by friends back in the
day.
Totally. You know, when you go to a friend's house for like a birthday or something, and the kid who's just got the game for his PlayStation, you all go around and you basically. The birthday party is to sit on his bed and watch him play the game.
Yeah, totally.
That's the birthday party.
It's amazing how YouTube has recently... Because that was never a bad experience. Yeah. Like, I know... Right, I'm speaking from the opposite side of this, but my sister, like, with games like Resident Evil, Silent Hill, she'd watch me play. But we both have a really fun social time.
Yeah.
Although I'd be the one playing the game, and she might have a walkthrough, hold it, read it for me, blah, blah, blah. YouTube now, with playthroughs, has captured that kind of... Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I love that so much.
I do.
Yeah.
Well done, YouTube.
Yeah, well done, YouTube.
So that's basically like my experiences of it. So I guess you're the expert in Silent Hill. So
well, in comparison, but like,
tell us more. So tell us the story. What's the narrative?
Well, I mean, it's like a lot of these sort of psychological horror games. It's a tiny bit convoluted, but suffice to say, in terms of gameplay, you have this town which is separated from the rest of the world, and the original game, you were a guy in a car with your daughter. The car crashes, you wake up, your daughter's missing, and you're in this place called Silent Hill, covered in fog. You wander around, try and find her, and you meet a few colourful characters along the way. And as it transpires, if I remember rightly, there's a few different endings, by the way, good endings, bad endings, I think four different endings, you know, that... Yeah, like it's bog standard cult stuff where there's a woman who's been impregnated with this deity, evil cult deity, attempts to stop having the baby, and sort of covers the town in this magic to stop herself having the baby, but it ends up that her soul splits in two or something, and I think your daughter's the reincarnation of her. It's sodding complex, if I'm being honest. Suffice to say, bloody creepy.
Yeah.
The only thing about it is obviously you do have a gun, and whenever you've got a gun in horror games, there was a one recently released that I'd love to play called Silent Hill Shattered Memories, and all you have is a torch, and that's the whole game.
That's cool.
Brilliant concept. It's for the Wii as well, and the Wii controller
is the torch.
Yeah, which is a beautiful idea. But there's been many sequels. There was obviously the movie.
Yeah.
And in Silent Hill 2, you had Pyramid Head. It's quite famed for, like, it's pretty fucked up monsters. You know? Have you seen Pyramid Head? Have you seen the image of that?
No.
Have you not seen Pyramid Head?
No.
Oh, man, you might even recognize it when you see it. It's like this monster that's sort of humanoid, huge, tall, with this, but like freakishly tall, with a massive machete, sort of semi-nude, and the head is covered in kind of a helmet that's this... Yeah, you can see it right there.
There we go. I remember this guy.
Inevitably very, very creepy.
Yeah.
But the massive sword's kind of reminiscent of... the sort of Final Fantasy, you know, that oversized sword thing that you get in a lot of Japanese games? Pretty scary. But it was good. The best thing about Silent Hill was it was tension, and it was sort of psychological horror, as opposed to other games around that time, like Resident Evil, where the game was scary, but it usually was like, get bigger guns to defeat the monsters, instead of, how can we outthink this situation? Or maybe you can't, because, you know, we're not bigger than cosmic forces. We have to kind of just be swept up along... in them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From
what I saw from reading about it as well, what I kind of liked was the character that you control. I think, was he called Harry?
Yeah.
Harry Mason?
Yeah, Harry Mason. Well done.
He is...
Harry, definitely.
Yeah, just like the everyman.
Totally.
He's not sort of like with your Resident Evil and stuff, your big butch muscle man or your Duke Nukems or your Doom guy and all that sort of stuff, which is really cool and very, very intelligent on there.
One of the first times I think that was done in a video game as well, because like I say, in Resi, you had Resident Evil, oh my God, what's the name? I had Jill Valentine's the girl, what the hell's the name of the guy? that's going to kill me. I remember Jill Valentine. Well, she was brilliant anyway. But yeah, they were the badass characters with guns and stuff. And like you say, in Doom, which, you know, was sort of a horror game in that it was set in hell. Yeah. There's monsters and shit. But you're shooting everything. And shooting stuff's never scary. It was also why I was curious, we'll talk about it in a second, P.T. that came out. Norman Reedus was cast, who's the guy from Walking Dead, which I thought was weird casting, because although it's his face walking around the game, you're playing as him. Have you seen Walking Dead, the TV show?
Like bits. Yeah. Series one, I've seen.
You get the gist. He's like this badass fighter character.
Yeah.
And I often thought, as him, I wouldn't feel as scared, because I'd feel a bit like, what's going to come at me? I've got a crossbow. I'm dealing with this situation.
They should have cast John Hannah.
Who's that again? I know his name.
You know the Mummy? The Mummy films, the one who's not Brendan Fraser.
maybe.
The really annoying Scottish guy.
He's a bit comedy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I know what you mean.
Rowan Atkinson, that's who they should have cast. Or Colin Firth. Colin Firth would be a good one.
Colin Firth would be quite good in a horror film, I think. He's very sort of settled. If you ever get the chance, this is almost horror. This almost fits in. Are you familiar with the play? It's Harold Pinter. What the hell is it called? It's not The Carpenter. What's that play called? Bugger.
Let me
throw a Google out. Not the Caretaker. The Caretaker.
Caretaker, yes.
If you go online onto YouTube, you can find Colin Firth doing a monologue from The Caretaker.
Brilliant.
And it's a particularly creepy monologue in an event that occurred to him. And it's worth watching because it's phenomenal. And just when you said Colin Firth would be good in a horror movie, that monologue completely illustrates why that would be the perfect casting choice.
Yeah.
Anyone listening who has the power to cast Colin Firth, do it.
Yeah, get that'd going. Be great.
But yeah, I know what you mean. But speaking of PT, the playable teaser trailer for the new Silent Hill game never was made.
We've watched this. It's recent. 2015, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, the main thing which I need to bring up with you is, how do you play a trailer?
Good question. Download it. It was on the Sony PlayStation Store.
So is trailer like a new version for demo?
Well, yeah. I know what you mean. I think it was a playable trailer in that it was its own game, sort of. You know what I mean? I don't know if that ever was intended to be a feature of the whole game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really a demo. It was more of a, maybe a sort of, well, I suppose we'll never bloody know because the game's not going to get made. We're not going to see what it was meant to be.
Yeah. But we had a look at it earlier, the old PT. And it was scary as
scary as, mate.
Reminiscent of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
What I thought. Especially Five Nights at Freddy's 4, which was the one I played more than the first one, which takes place in a house going up and down a corridor.
When did that come out? After or before?
Must have been before.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's, I suppose it's comparable in the basis that it's like, for anyone who's not familiar, so a while ago they were going to come up with the new Silent Hill game called Silent Hills, and it was going to star Norman Reedus with Guillermo del Toro directing, with Hideo Kojima, who made the Metal Gear series, so like massively hyped.
Yeah.
And they released the demo on the Sony PlayStation so that you could download and play, or the playable teaser, and the idea was after you'd completed the little game, you could watch the trailer for the game, although it never got made, and the demo actually got taken off the Sony PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
So the only way to play it now is either by illegal download, which we don't recommend, or there's a million videos on YouTube you can watch of playthroughs. And it's creepy as shit. It's full-on fucking scary.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Well, I shat myself watching it.
Yeah, you did. And I watched you shit yourself. It was pretty
you
funny.
Did. And you knew. You set me up to shit myself as well.
Oh. I had that earlier. I had that this morning when I was laying in bed watching it on my phone.
You bastard.
It's terrifying. It's really terrifying.
I mean, the creepiest bit is basically, so you're walking up and down a corridor and you've got to decide which room to go through, and you just...
You're walking around and around the same corridor, and every time you walk,
you're checking every
changes.
Angle, aren't you, and things like that. There's one door which is slightly ajar, and you can just hear a baby's like little cry coming through it.
Did you watch it long enough to see the baby?
No.
So it's in a sink, and it doesn't look like a baby. But it's humanoid-ish.
Yeah.
But it looks like a fetus. It's freaking horrible, mate.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, mate, it's grotesque. It's really horrible.
Shit. I mean, the thing, so I don't like that, because the kids scare the shit out of me anyway, just in general life. Which is why I hate panto season in theatres. But the main thing as well is the clip that you showed me was, I don't even know what happened. Some girl just appeared and just like ate the screen essentially like that, and shit, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of a subplot to it in that you can hear the radio as you're playing the game, and the radio seems to be talking about a dad who killed his family.
Mm.
And you're not sure whether or not it implies that you're the dad or whatever.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, there's a screaming baby you can hear, and there's a woman, a ghost woman, who sometimes attacks you. And when she does, you have to start that particular run again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a bit of a puzzle game. And there's a few little puzzles. Like every time you try and get through the corridor again, usually there is something, you know, you've got to do something before you can open the door and repeat the cycle. But yeah, it's also a lot of the puzzles, which are super common of these kind of horror games. I wonder when it started, forcing you to look at things, which is brilliantly creepy, a brilliant mechanic for making you even more scared by saying, hey, you know this creepy picture on the wall? You have to stare at that so we can do the little mechanic so that you carry on. Do you ever play a game called, what was it called? It was a game where you, it was PlayStation 1, photograph game, Project Zero, that's what it was called.
Ooh, I know of this game, I've not played it.
Yeah, that was, I played a bit of it and then put it down, it was too scary.
Yeah,
it was well scary, and the plot was, and I mean this was PlayStation 1, and I played this about 4 years ago, so, you know, the graphics were old, still creepy.
Yeah.
And essentially, ghosts would appear, walk towards you, be creepy as shit, like, you know, that kind of, like we were talking about It Follows, slow walking toward you. And the only way you could kill it or neutralize the threat was you had a camera and you had to look at it through the lens of this camera
for X amount
of time.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was brilliant. Yeah. Forced you to be scared to deal with the situation.
Oh, man, I love it. Just thinking back to the original Silent Hill then. So he's going after his adopted daughter who's gone missing.
Yeah.
I've not played this game, but I know I've seen like clips of it and it looks incredible. It's a PlayStation game, and I remember being very angry that I couldn't get it on Xbox. And is it a dad and a girl and a zombie? Is it called like The Last of Us or something?
The Last of Us, yeah.
Is that similar to this sort of setup then?
If I'm being honest, no, not at all.
Okay. Well, moving on.
I played the whole of The Last of Us.
Is that a horror game though?
It's a bit scary sometimes, but it's more of an adventure story, post-apocalyptic adventure.
Oh, okay.
It's incredible though. Aside from this, I played the whole thing. And in fact, I think I had a Xbox 360, and I felt the same as you.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend had a PlayStation 3. And so I'm not saying this was the reason I started going out with her, but certainly shortly after, I bought The Last of Us for her PlayStation 3.
Excellent.
Blitzed through that game. Incredible game.
I came very close. I mean, I'm not a massive gamer. I tend to be more the old consoles and stuff. So I've still got a NES, Super NES.
All about the retro.
Or SNES, sorry. And all that sort of stuff. But obviously, Big Bond Nerd, Spectre came out on DVD last week. When I went to the shop and I picked up the DVD of it, I saw like just a few video blogs as the special features. Then on the actual DVD, there was loads more special features.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the shop and I'm going like, oh, fuck it, I might as well just buy a PS4 and have the Blu-ray of it so I can have this. And I was so tempted to just go, and I was thinking like, and there was a bundle pack where you could get The Last of Us and the new FIFA and stuff. I was thinking, like, oh, I should have done it.
Well, it's still going to be there. Mm. I'm always dodgy about when I buy a new console, because I've been thinking about buying a PlayStation 4 for a while, mainly because of Star Wars Battlefront, which I have been playing.
And it's all free now as well, which is the big plus for it, isn't it? The extra content.
For what?
Battleship.
Battlefront.
Battleship.
A different game.
Yeah.
Up and down, to be honest, no. Like, some of the DLCs, some of the new maps are coming out, but I think the DLC is still going to be like the original cost of the game.
Because I read that they were going to make it all, because look, there was a big, like, about it.
Paying for the game twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, to be honest, like, in terms of mechanics, it's not the best game. That being said, it is one of the most fun games I've played in a long time.
Just being able to control those characters
environments. It's amazing how much they've really captured the heart of just the fun of Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
It's a boss. But yeah, mate, problem with PS4 as well is you've got a, similar to the Xbox 360, you pay for a subscription, whereas with PlayStation 3, you never had to, being online was always free. Don't get me wrong, I know that's the way the technology's going. Maybe I should just commit and get a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should both do it same day.
Maybe we should. Maybe that'd be a
When I hold PlayStation controllers now, it's so small. I've got giant hands.
It's because you're so big, Gary.
I know, I'm just so used to it, because the Xbox controller, it's a chunky thing.
Yeah, it's very... It's
a girthy controller.
They've not changed the PlayStation controller. Yeah. I'm not upset that they've not either. I think that it's good, and it's quintessential to the experience of PlayStation.
Yeah.
And it's a good controller. The Xbox controller's pretty... Did you ever play on a GameCube?
Yeah.
The GameCube controller is probably the most comfortable... Yeah. For your hands that was ever made.
Do you know what I never understood? You remember the N64 controller?
It's mental, isn't it?
You hold the middle... How? Someone got a third arm or something?
It was so weird. I assume they just meant that you'd play it in multiple ways. Like the controller, you could hold it in multiple ways. But yeah, isn't that weird? Like, it's like they never took the aesthetic into account.
Weird.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
It looks iconic as well.
Yeah.
Same as like the SNES controller.
Yeah. I remember the weirdest thing controller-wise that used to annoy me so much was, do you remember Time Crisis? Did you ever play that game?
Yeah.
Loved that game so much. But I didn't have... When I first got that game, I got it for Christmas, and I didn't get the gun until my birthday, which is 2 months later. So I had to play it with a normal controller. And obviously you can't aim, so you've just got this little white dot on the screen. You've just got the D-pad to like go up, down, left, right. You've got to be so accurate. So it was just like standing dead close to the screen, going like up, down, left, right. It was like a weird version of Splatoon on SMTV or something.
Oh my god, Splatoon, what a game.
I was on Splatoon, did I tell you this?
Oh, I think you have told me this.
Yeah.
I need to find the video of that.
Yeah.
Go on.
I've got it at home, so.
I would love to see that. Mm. Did you ever play, you must play GoldenEye N64?
Oh, yeah.
The James Bond game. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the most famous games ever made.
Yeah.
The original, like, unboxed, is still worth quite a bit of money now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect game.
Very good game.
Amazing. Really upset they re-released it. I've not got it, but I do want to get it. They've re-released it for Xbox 360, didn't they, a few years ago.
Updated graphics or just...
Yeah, so the same game, updated graphics, same levels and everything. But they replaced Pierce Brosnan with Daniel Craig.
Ah, oh, that's so sad.
I know, poor Pierce.
That's so annoying.
I know.
I can sort of see why they might have done it on the basis that they might get a new generation. Mm. That being said...
But it's Pierce Brosnan's film, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well. And don't belittle... Like, I'm confident that people... Any James Bond fan would still get that game, you know?
Yeah.
There's
a James Bond Legends game as well, which I want to get, which is like, I think it's six of the Bond films, like levels of those games, and it's spread out along the whole franchise and stuff.
That's pretty cool. So you get to play the different Bonds?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Apparently so, yeah. So,
yeah. Is that recent?
About 2012, I think.
Mate,
so it's not got a very good star rating really on Amazon. I've heard it's a bit, way like movie films aren't. Or movie games on.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It is weird sometimes. Like, GoldenEye was amazing. There was definitely a time where they were being more adventurous with the way they were marketing, like, a movie. Whereas these days, it feels like they're just shoehorning it in.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind that, you know. If I get to control James Bond, that makes me happy.
You're happy enough. So, yeah.
So, basically, before we leave, we've got Silent Hill, obviously, being the haunted town.
The haunted town of Silent Hill.
Yeah, the haunted town. So I've done some research and I've found some haunted towns across the world. We've got the six most haunted towns. So
we did this last week, of course, with the hotels.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting back on the Adelphi.
The Adelphi, yeah. God bless them. One day they'll get in touch.
Can't wait to hear those creepy stories.
So the first one, we'll just do a quick run through. The first one is Ohio in America. And the town, it's all in the name, to be honest. It's called Helltown.
Yeah. I mean, when they named that, they should have expected... Wait, was it called Helltown after the event, or was that just from day one? They went, and what shall we call this, Puritans?
Yeah.
Helltown.
Not a clue. But I mean, straight away, so Helltown, Satanists, slaughtered children, deranged mental patients, mutant animals, and even a road to hell and a haunted cemetery. Helltown has it all.
Is that on helltown.com, the tourist guide? Yeah.
Well, this is on a website called thrillist.com.
Oh, right.
Mm, so
deranged mental patients. That's not very PC.
I was thinking that. It's governed by Trump. There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's Helltown twinned with? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, some town called Quaint in France or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? The next one is called the Forbidden City in Beijing, China, and I've heard a bit about this. Built over 14 years in 1406, the Forbidden City was once the Chinese imperial palace and home to 24 emperors and their entourages, and must have seen some, and then in italics, stuff. A lot of ghosts can accumulate in 608 years, after all. Now, that sounds pretty good, but... don't just use italics to make us think that it's haunted.
Yeah, I feel like I've been cheated. Called the Forbidden City, and all they've said is it's pretty old, guys, so there's probably some ghosts.
Yeah, although, here we go. Executions on a whim were common, murder plots and intrigues were the norm. And then it says here that, let's see, oh shit, over the course of a 13-year spell between one certain Emperor Ming Yongle, he governed 2,800 people to be killed in a 13-year spell.
That's bad.
Mm. Genocide.
That's one way to deal with a population crisis.
Yeah, the next one. Puckley in Kent.
Brilliant. We'll have to visit.
Yeah, we'll go down there. Good old Puckers. And Puckley claims the dubious honour of being considered as the most haunted village in England, confirmed by the Guinness World Records in 1989.
How the hell do you confirm that?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should get in touch with the Guinness World Records. What's your criteria?
Or shall we find what the most haunted place in Puckley is and give them a call?
Oh,
there's got to be a bed and breakfast or a hotel or a pub or something.
Yeah, you've done it again.
That's
it. Oh, wait, here we go. Accounts vary, but it's said between 12 and 16 poltergeists permanently reside in Puckley.
Permanently reside? 12 or 16? That's enough so that a lot of people must have seen a bit of poltergeist.
I like how chatty this website is, though. So it goes... 12 and 16 poltergeists permanently reside in Puckley. Well, in as so much as an incorporeal beings can reside. Spectral selections include a farmer who shot himself, a man who stabbed himself, a bloody soldier, all the 1406 built elderly farm B&B. There's also a red lady in the graveyard, a white lady who primarily haunts the church, a screaming man who fell to his death, a man who was murdered by sword and gave Fright Corner its suitable name, the watercress woman,
what the hell
is this, who accidentally set herself on fire, and a teacher who hanged himself and was discovered by students, to name a few. Seems like something about Puckley makes people suicidal, or just exceptionally clumsy.
All right. Stop the press. Here's what we're going to do. We need to do some serious Puckley research.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. That's a lot of stuff. Like, the other ones were like, oh, Forbidden City in China. Yeah, a lot of people have died. But that's, here are, like, 20 specific ghosts.
Yeah.
Mate. I say we do a bit of research and we bugger off whatever the next miscellaneous podcast is.
Yeah.
And do that. I want to bring someone in Puckley.
I want to make a massive watercress sandwich and just like walk around trying to find the watercress woman.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know. We've pretty much run out of time. Should we just name the other towns, then we can come back and chat about them another time?
What? Go on. Give us one more.
Okay, so we've got the, I can't really pronounce it, Aokigahara in Japan, known as the Suicide Forest, and this is The Forest, which is out in cinemas now.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'd recommend, as I mentioned to you beforehand, there's a Vice documentary you can find on YouTube about a suicide forest in Japan, which follows the caretaker of the forest, and it's horrendous. And it's not necessarily horror, to be honest, and I wouldn't like to call it that, because it's a very, very real thing. It's a mega suicide hotspot, but it's absolutely fascinating to watch the documentary if you get the chance.
Yeah, excellent. The other two towns, just to finish, is Jerome in Arizona, and when its human population shrunk to around 15,000 to less than 400 lonely souls, God, that's a massive drop, isn't it? Even as low as 50 in the mid-1900s, this former copper mining town maintains a thriving population of ghosts and is nicknamed Ghost City because it is a city of ghosts. Again, solid evidence.
Solid, mate.
That is concrete.
Oh, my God.
It basically says, oh, okay. As well as good old-fashioned gunfights, the community centre, or Spook Hall, as locals call it, used to be a brothel, and the town had hundreds of hookers while business was booming. Now various ladies of the night haunt the place.
Define haunt. Like, work there?
Maybe the ghost from Ghostbusters, because it doesn't... Am I right in thinking? It's been a while since I've seen it, but Dan Aykroyd gets a blowjob from a ghost.
He does, yeah.
Maybe she's from old Jerome, Arizona.
Very possibly. Mm.
The final one is Sleepy Hollow in upstate New York.
I didn't actually know that was a real place.
Oh, yeah. I've been saving up. I say saving up. I've been putting like a tenner a week away to go to America, so it's like one of these days.
Yes.
Yeah. This dream I've had to go traveling around America, and I've always wanted to spend Halloween in either Sleepy Hollow or Salem.
That would be magic.
Yeah.
Salem's inherently horrific, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but obviously, Sleepy Hollow, we all know about it. It's the Headless Horseman, the Hessian, who basically used to behead people. And
that he did.
Claim the heads for his own.
Have you seen the Sleepy Hollow TV series?
I've not. I watch Bates Motel, and there's always like a little clip of Sleepy Hollow after that. So I've seen little bits and bobs.
I've watched a few episodes, and let me just say, it's amusing.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, the horseman upon appearing in modern day, which you know, as does Ichabod Crane, both appear in modern day. The modern day horseman walks around attempting to chop off a few heads with his axe and then breaks into a police station for reasons.
Yeah.
And then the next shot is him tooled up with M14s, grenades, and he just goes around being a gun-toting badass, which I must admit, the moment that it sort of cut to the headless guy after he's got the bandana full of, you know, the ammunition belts surrounding him and guns in every hand, I did think, right, I now understand the tone of this show and I'm with you all the way. And it kind of got good.
The opening scene of that is just him walking into the police station going like, give me your boots, your jacket.
I swear it's exactly like that. It's honestly exactly like that.
Oh,
brilliant. Amazing. Anyway, we've ran on.
We have, so you're welcome. Right, so we'll see you next week. Next week we are back with Miscellaneous Head Spinners.
I want it to be Puckley. I want to do a bit of research.
We'll be there in no time. I'll go and book our train tickets. Right, so we'll depart from this plane. See you next time. I've been Gary.
And I've been Dave.
And this has been Horoscope.